All right, so this morning we're going to do a little bit different. Is that plant in your way? Can y'all see them through that plant? Everybody okay? Nobody's talking. All right, I'm sorry, they're not talking to us this morning. So I'm just going to interview these guys for you to kind of make it a little easier for them so they don't have to come up with everything on their own. And they're going to just share what they experienced and what they saw God do. So we're going to start off first. If somebody can give us just a synopsis kind of what happened, a rundown of what the week was like, the itinerary, what happened. Can you do that for me, Les? Thank you. Into the mic.
Hey, up there they had children's ministry.
There you go.
They had senior ministry, wheelchair ramp ministry, and outreach ministry. The worship band is led by college students, and there is a youth pastor speaker for the week. Our group was children's ministry and outreach ministry. Then we also had a time to do church group devotion with our youth groups to reflect on the message that night. This week, while we were in Shelby, the theme passage for Deep Impact was Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14.
So, see, this is where I get to do follow-up questions. You thought you were done. So, on a given day, walk me through real quick what one day would look like. You'd wake up, and what would happen? Okay, you'd go back to sleep, and then what would happen?
Go eat breakfast.
You go eat breakfast, and then what would happen? Help him out. Y'all can help him out.
Yeah, we had service. Yeah, service.
In the morning. You had a morning service. Okay, they had a morning devotion, and then what?
Mission site.
Then you went to your mission site. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You had to clean what? They had to clean up where they lived. And then they went to the mission site. And how long were you at the mission site?
A couple hours.
You got to talk into the mic, bro. They can only hear you.
For a couple hours.
A couple hours. Get 9 to what? 9 to?
9 to 3.
9 to 3. They were 9 to 3 at the mission site. Don't get mad at me, Strong. 9 to 3 at the mission site. And then what would you do?
Come back and have free time.
Okay, you had free time.
Mm-hmm.
And then?
Then eat supper, and then some more Jesus.
Some more Jesus.
Yep.
Specifically, the more Jesus
we learned
was
about
a,
Jesus
a worship
more.
Service,
yeah.
Right?
Worship okay. Service.
Worship
yeah.
Service.
The preaching.
Sorry, he didn't prepare for all this. I'm putting him on the spot. And then after the worship service, what would you do?
Small group,
just your church,
church
right?
Church group devotion.
Okay. Good job. See, that wasn't that hard. Good job. Hand the mic to Travis for a second. Travis, was it just Cartlidge Creek Baptist Church at this camp?
No, I'm not sure exactly how many churches were there, but we had seven at least.
It was like five or seven
churches.
Travis. Five or seven churches. Like, guess how many students do you think?
This year, I think it was at least 100.
About 100 teenagers. At this place, living, staying, serving together, right, from different churches. Cool. All right, so, good job, by the way. So, one of the things, just if you guys can share, it doesn't matter what order you do it in, just a highlight of the week for you, personally, like something you experienced, saw, a highlight from the week.
Okay, I'll share first. One of the things I encountered this week is a man by the name of Damien, who showed up at the mission site on the first day we were there. Me and the other group's youth pastor that was working with us, we sat down and talked to him. He was eating lunch by himself, and what we came to discover is this man had a hard life, and it seemed like God was trying to get his attention. He talked about how every so often he would run into somebody that would talk to him about God. And it was evident from the way he was talking that he didn't know Christ yet. So I just encourage everybody to please pray for him. He's a man who is seeking, but he still has not found Christ yet. So just please be praying for him.
Cool. Thank you. Same thing, Cruz. And the highlight of the week.
The highlight of the week for me
Louder. Talk loud. Yeah, talk loud. They want to hear you. I want them to hear you back there. Go.
Am I good?
Yeah, you're good. Go.
Okay. The highlight of the week for me would probably be giving my first solo performance. in front of a live audience. I sang "A Dear Younger Me" by Mercy Me, and it was very nerve-wracking. And I couldn't read the lyrics on the paper because my hand was shaking so much. I thought I was going to barf, but I didn't. So, yeah, that was a really cool experience for me because I never thought I'd do something like that. And I've always wanted to sing in front of the church, but I never have had enough confidence. And so everybody was bugging me about doing the talent show that night, and I did it.
So you stepped out by faith
and
sang in front of it. Awesome. All right.
That is correct. Oh, yeah. And then there was this girl that wanted to sing. And there was this girl that wanted to sing, right? I mean, she was going to sing Hallelujah. And she got up there and sang, and she messed up a couple times. So then she went back and sat down, and I ran over there to her, and I, like, encouraged her to get back up there. And I told her I'd sing with her, and finally she got up there. She was the last person to perform, and she got up there and, like, had the whole camp singing Hallelujah together. It was a really cool experience.
Cool.
And then she got a standing ovation.
Awesome. Gabby, highlight of the week.
So I was not in the same group as the rest of the people. Well, our church. I was in community outreach, and I thought I was going to be out there, like, talking with people and getting to know people. But we were in a food bank, actually, helping them stock shelves. But it is a church-centered ministry, the Washington Outreach Ministry. And it was really cool to hear the woman who ran the place. They had all the volunteers gathered up, and we stood in a circle, and we prayed. And she told us of all the blessings that God had given her, or the ministry, in the past year. And it would take me too long to name them all. But it was amazing to see what God had done within their ministry.
Excellent.
I would say it was really awesome to be able to see these teenagers passionate for Jesus. One thing as the leader of the youth pastor is that I can always be the one to take charge and want to do things and be the one to jump in either in a conversation or setting stuff up or doing a devotion time. But this week I wanted these teenagers, this trip to be their mission trip. And not the youth pastor or Nathan Black and then them be a part of, you know, kind of living in the shadow, I guess. But it was awesome to see how they took charge. One of the things, one of the highlights was as we were getting together, it was everybody but Gabby in the group. And I was very proud of Gabby because she jumped in with the other group and did really good. And I didn't have to worry about trying to get her back on our group. But it was really cool to see teenagers saying, hey, I'm willing to do the devotion time with the kids on the mission site. And it was awesome to see that. Also, I got to see Cruz and some other ones share their testimony with other people on this mission site at this kind of low-income apartment setting. And also, it was really, really cool, a highlight, to see Travis pray with this woman who was about to send her son off to college and just kind of the unknown there. And so the highlight for me was seeing other people making it their mission trip and me not being the one to kind of be the leader. I could just take a step back and allow them to lead and see how God can use their gifts. So that was kind of my highlight, Jason.
Awesome. So one of the beautiful things about mission trips, and this is the reason we want you to hear this morning, is because my experience is that God often uses mission trips as much to change us as he does using us to help other people, right? You step out by faith, and anytime you walk by faith, inevitably you're going to grow closer to God, right? So the next question for you guys is, one thing that you saw God do in your life or change in your life or an aspect of God that you were reminded of as you come back, it's kind of a wide open question, how you might feel like you want to do differently coming back, any of those answers you want to give on this one. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
What question?
What was the question? I've messed. How's okay. He changed you? Yeah. Sorry, I elaborated too much. How's he changed you?
He's changed me to realize that mission trips aren't for just us, but they're for other people, so we can share gospel with them and let them know about Jesus. And also, It helps us build a relationship with Christ.
Okay.
So this year I was reminded that I need to be prepared for Scripture for any situation. And I'm going to have to go into a bit of a long story with this one. But starting Wednesday, an old lady whose name was Miss Marie started coming outside and visiting with our youth group. She spent about 2 days doing this. And the first day, everybody that talked to her, from what I can understand, she didn't seem to have any kind of weird beliefs or anything. Surface, she seemed like a normal Christian lady. But on the last day that she showed up on Thursday, I got to talk to her the first time. And for whatever reason, she felt comfortable enough talking to me that she shared her belief system. And she just brought up randomly in the conversation that she felt like Jesus was Michael the Archangel. And luckily for me, I had already had an idea that people, I don't know if anybody knows this, but Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And so I'd already come into contact through a YouTube channel that was sharing what other people believe so that Christians could be prepared in case they ran into it. I already knew that Jehovah's Witnesses believed that. I'd just seen that YouTube video 2 weeks before, so God had already prepared me in advance for that situation. Unfortunately, I had forgot the scripture that the man had told us to use in case we ran into somebody that believed that way. So I was not ready when she brought it up to completely refute her belief in Jesus being somebody he's not, which is unfortunately what a lot of people nowadays, they do not believe correctly who Jesus is. And I need to be better prepared to explain Jesus properly, and all of us really do. That afternoon I went, because she promised she would be back the next day, so I went and prepared, finding scripture that would refute that belief, but unfortunately, she didn't show up the next day. Mm-hmm. So please be praying for her. She has a son that's handicapped, and so both of them are probably under a false belief in Jesus. So please be praying for her.
All right. How God changed you.
So everything that we did, whether it was the potato farm or the building ramps or food banks, teaching children about Jesus, everything that we did can be done in Richmond County. We have people that need help. We have ramps that need to be built. We have children that need to be ministered to, and adults and young adults. And I consider us a very mission-minded church, but when it comes to Richmond County, we're not as mission-minded as I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. My grandmother lives in an apartment complex where there are children all over the place, and I could almost guarantee you that none of them are in church on Sunday morning. So what I took away from this and what God has done to change me is make me aware of the fact that I can make a difference, and this youth group can make a difference, and our church can make a difference. We can, or I was telling somebody, I think I was telling you yesterday at your house, that I saw like 10 and 11-year-olds leading Bible studies with children where we were just telling Bible stories. And so it doesn't take, you know, a seasoned veteran pastor to share the gospel. It just takes somebody stepping out by faith and doing what needs to be done in God's name. So, yeah, that's what God did to change me.
All right.
Just give me a different point of view.
Cool.
So I think that during this week, that week was a great example of how you can live out your whole life by faith and for Jesus, like not just coming on Sunday to church, but I think we got to spend that whole week doing missionary work, sort of. And so I think it showed me that even though we were doing ordinary things, or things that don't take a whole lot of, I don't know how to explain this, effort. Like, going, you can go and serve in your community without having to have planned it for 2 months. You can just go and serve, and that's so easy. But I think that I learned this week that when you're doing it for Christ, you're so much more motivated, and you're so much more focused on doing it for the right reasons, you know? And that helped me a whole lot.
I would say that how God changed me was I had gotten in a little bit of a rut, and kind of going back to that first question, I had gotten in a little bit of a rut, or I would say being a little stagnant in my faith, and the fact that I was not sharing the gospel or not engaging people in conversation like I should. And so when it was, going back to the first question again, seeing other people, seeing these teenagers, seeing other adults and leaders, sharing their testimony with other people, wanting to share a devotion, a Bible passage with the kids, and then hearing about it back at camp, that it fanned the flame. And so when I got back to Richmond County, I started praying more about looking for opportunities to share my faith with people in Walmart or just right here. Or, you know, Dixie and I just went on vacation to the mountains for a few days, and it was awesome because I had probably 8 to 10 different conversations with people that we were hiking with or at breakfast with. And so I would say this mission trip helped in the fact that I got pumped up for Jesus, and I got excited because I got to see 13, 14, 15-year-olds excited for Christ and wanting to share their faith. And so that just allowed me to get excited as well. And so when I came back, my prayer life has changed, has gotten stronger, because I wanted to start praying more for God opening doors so I can share my faith with people. Because what was it, Mike Bortz, who was here just a few weeks ago to preach, the statistics of how many people right here around this church, who are not saved, and then was it 2,000, Jason, right here around this church, 2,000 people in a 5-mile radius, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, are not saved, not church. And then was it 10,000 or more, Jason? 13,000? Yeah, 13,000. Thank you, Gabby. So I learned that on the mission trip, too. She knows her stuff. So, and I think that she gets it from her daddy. So,
amen. All right. Let's close out the service.
So, yeah. So,
grab the mic,
but 13,000 people right here in Richmond County who are not saved, who do not go to church. And so this mission trip really opened my eyes and my prayer life of wanting to have a stronger desire of sharing my faith. And that's how God worked in my life that week.
And they did have a few more that went with them that were not able to be here this morning. You can pass that back down to Nathan for a second. So Nathan, I have a question for you. The group that's up here right now, so these four sitting to your right, would you consider them the elite of the elite of Cartlidge Creek? Are they better than everybody else out there?
No, they are not. They are not better than...
That's a trick question, right?
They are not better. Only when they pick on me, they might be a little lesser. But yeah, but I think they, like Cruz and Gabby said, the motivation is Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, then you can be motivated to do anything that we've done just right down the road in Shelby, or possibly what they're going to be sharing about in Calgary of doing soccer camp and building relationships with kids. If there are, again, senior citizen ministries that we did at Shelby, going to a nursing home, spending time for a few hours in a nursing home, ministering, reading the gospel, you know, reading scripture, and doing just little crafts with them, to go into a apartment complex, like Cruz said, of where there are many kids, and there are a lot of apartment complexes in this area. And if these teenagers can do that, spend a few hours out ministering at a food bank or an apartment complex, I definitely know that y'all as just a little older people, you know, not much older than them, y'all can do it as well. Yeah, because, again, there are thousands of people in this county that don't know Christ. And if these teenagers can get up and share their faith, I definitely know y'all can as well.
Amen. All right, you're off the hook.
Can I ask another question? Put him on the spot again,
yeah.
Jace. What was a conflict, or what was something that made it challenging? What about that? What was one challenging thing through the week that y'all had to overcome?
That you can share in church.
Not having Chris Thomas's cooking, son. I tell you what, I thought I was gonna die.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's not Chris Thomas's cooking.
Anybody else? Challenge?
For the first part of our week, it was a struggle to get anybody to talk to in our group. We didn't have any kids the first day, and it seemed like it took forever for us to pull kids into our attempt at a vacation Bible school, sort of. And by the end of the week, we only had 7. So that was a bit rough. But we still were able to have good conversations with some of the adults that showed up.
Okay. Anybody else? You don't have to. But yeah.
So at my mission site, we ran out of things to do on the second day. They didn't have a whole lot for us to do there. And so on the third day, we went to a potato farm. And we got into it and, you know, hoed weeds. I guess that's how you say it. I don't know. And we could have easily gotten frustrated and gotten beaten down, because most of us are not used to doing that kind of thing. But instead, we stayed on top of it. So I don't know if that's a conflict, but we stayed on top of it, and we were able to do a lot of good work that day. And those potatoes are going as another outreach ministry. They give them their sweet potatoes, and they deliver those to people who with poor income in our community, their community.
So just to be clear, you learned how to weed, right?
Maybe.
Okay, excellent. Just wanted to clarify that in front of the church. That my daughter knows how to weed now. That'll come in handy. The theme verse for their week was from Titus chapter 2. And you don't have to turn there this morning. We're actually going to put one of those verses up in a second. But the theme verse, and you can see it on the back of their shirts, chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." And you can put this up, Marty. This is verse 14. It says, "Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." That's the heart of the gospel. The reason that we would send our youth group on a mission trip, that you have supported it, whether you realize it or not, you supported it through money that you've given to this church. Hopefully you supported it through prayer. Same thing you're going to hear tonight. It's a recurring theme throughout today, that missions is simply just living by faith for God, right? It says there, because of, and the reason you do it is because of the gospel. He gave himself for us. We know that. You've been in church. You've heard that. Jesus died for you. He gave himself for us to redeem us, because we can't redeem ourselves. We cannot make ourselves right with God. We never could. We never can. We never will. We can't fix the situations that we're in right now, that only He is the one who's powerful enough to do it. And He redeemed us from every lawless deed to purify. There was a purpose why. And this is the key for us today and this whole day, that God has saved you not just so you can be happy, not so you can just sit on a pew and have a pretty good Sunday morning, not just so you get to go to heaven, though all those things are products of it, or byproducts of it, but He has saved you with a purpose, to purify for Himself a people, because we're not pure. He's the one who has to do it. He is making us. That's what the church is. It's a body of believers. And this is a beautiful example. They went and they were part with other churches. It wasn't just our church. It was multiple youth groups coming together for the glory of God, right?
that the family of God is really big, right? Really big, and it doesn't look like us all the way, right? It's a whole lot of variety to this, but that he's purifying for himself a people. And part of that purifying, of making us more holy, is that we would be zealous. And that word zealous means what? What's it mean? This is your chance to talk back. What's zealous mean? Excited, passionate, eager for good deeds. And that's the exact opposite of what religion teaches us. Religion teaches us to do good deeds to earn God's favor. And there's no passion or excitement or eagerness in that. That's just doing a checklist to try to get enough done so you get paid, right? This is the opposite, that God has given you a gift that you didn't deserve. He's given you life, and now he's going to work in you because he's given you that life. He's going to work in you so that you not only are thankful, but that now you have an opportunity to be a part of what he's doing, and you're zealous for this because he gets the glory. Now, here's the one thing that I'm always a little worried about, especially when our youth group goes on mission trips. I'm not so worried about them getting lost or losing a youth. We've never lost one, so we're pretty good on that. Amen. Amen. Never yet, we haven't. I'm not so worried about what the speakers are going to teach them at camp or what our adults are going to leave. We have great adults that went with them that are pouring into them right now. The thing that gets me most concerned when our youth group goes on a mission trip is that they're going to come back super excited for God, and somehow we as the adults are like a big, smelly, wet blanket, and we just throw it on top of that excitement and smother it. That's the fear I have, that somehow the faith that maybe we aren't living out all the time well would rub off on them and bring them back down. So I don't know if you could tell, they're a little nervous about being up here, but I can tell firsthand, this is my first year as a parent of a youth on a mission trip. It's a little bit different experience in this seat. But I can tell you the excitement that I heard when they got back. And I've seen it year after year taking youth on mission trips. The excitement they come back with. Listen, it's a responsibility on us to learn from them and come alongside them now and say, when they come up with an idea, instead of saying, we ain't ever done it that way before. Instead of saying that, maybe we should say, let's give it a try. Let me come along and help you, right? Today, this morning, and I hope you come back, and my prayer for you is that God would somehow speak to you today and knock you out of cruise control Christianity. And what I mean by that, not cruise, but cruise control Christianity, where you have placed your faith in Christ, you now do the Sunday thing and you come and join us, and that's it. And I'm here to tell you there is more to it. The abundant life that Christ talks about, there's more to it than just kind of cruising through and sprinkling in Jesus where you go and praying a little bit. There's more to it than that. They stepped out by faith for a week. I love these guys, but there's nothing unique about them that you don't have also. You're going to hear tonight, and I'm telling you, I'm so proud of the teams that went to Calgary and Boston. I'm super proud of those teams, but there's nothing more unique about them than any of you that didn't go. It's just simply listening to God and obeying, being zealous for good deeds because of what he's done in your life, and watching him work through you. And I promise you, there are multiple opportunities in this county this week where God could work through you if you opened your eyes and stepped out by faith. So that's the challenge this morning. Wherever you are in this journey, I'm praying that God would speak to you. You would hear these young folks and be inspired and encouraged. Maybe you have been there at one point in your past and you've kind of got sidetracked a little bit. Maybe life's thrown some things at you that's just knocked you down. But I'm telling you, God is still the same. And he is still about working through his people to get glory. We're going to pray. And we ask Lauren just to come play and give it, and have an opportunity you can respond. But it's simply the question, where am I at right now with God?
Am I on mission with him? Am I living day by day, moment by moment, by faith, trusting God for big things, attempting big things for God, expecting big things from God? Or have I been sidetracked by other stuff? If that's the second case as you, then listen, we sang this morning, "Oh, come to the altar." It's wide open. He's there with us. That's the beauty of God. He pulls us back in. If you're already in line with this, let me encourage you, don't stop. There's always more. There's still more that he could do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the power of the gospel and for the power of the gospel exhibited through lives of young people here on this stage. I thank you for the encouragement it is to me and to us and to our church. Lord, we're thankful that they're here and they're part of us and that they're living this out, Lord, to help us to learn from them. Lord, I pray that for some in the room, you would awaken us. And for some of us in the room, you would just pick us back up. And for some of us in the room, you would fan the flame even more. That we would see you do amazing things for your glory. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand, we're going to offer a time of invitation. You guys can step down if you want. We're offering just a simple time of invitation. We're inviting you to respond. You can pray where you are. It might be clear to you today. God has put something on your heart, and it's time to let go of it, or it's time to take action, or time to stop action. I don't know what it is, but some of you maybe he's made it clear. Some of us maybe it hasn't. But the beautiful thing about God is he knows, and his arms are open wide. So where you are now, eyes closed, head bowed, this is your chance just to respond to him. If you need prayer, I'll be down front. If you need to come, come on. It's just a chance to listen to him and respond.